welcome to a live edition of Mid-South Viewpoint on this rainy Thursday afternoon. We've got some really strong winds and rain, what's left of Hurricane Harvey that hit so violently our friends in Houston. And as the remnants makes its way up toward us in the Memphis area, very strong winds pouring down rain, 100% chance of rain. Now, some of these storms are producing very heavy rainfall. If you are in a low-lying area where it's prone to flood and it hasn't gotten that way yet, I advise you to get out of that area. We did a show on Tuesday and talked with the Mississippi Emergency Management Agency, Lee Smithson, who is the director. They are anticipating some serious flooding in Mississippi, possible 10 inches. So we're concerned about our friends in the Delta area, too. Gust as high as 40 miles per hour. Just take it easy and drive careful out there. Don't get out if you don't have to. That rain chance should be diminishing tomorrow. 30% chance of showers, but tonight more rain, low around 68 degrees. Right now, we just want everybody to be safe. We appreciate you joining us. Speaking fluently in more than 230 languages and dialects, TWR, also known as Transworld Radio, exists to reach the world for Jesus Christ. Now, their global media outreach engages millions in more than 160 countries with biblical truth. For nearly 60 years, God has enabled TWR to help lead people from doubt to decision to discipleship. We're going to get a glimpse of one slice of the ministry. My friend Gary Whitmore is here. Gary, welcome. Glad you're in town. Despite all the circumstances right now, we're glad to have you on the show.
Byron, it's great to be here. We've known each other for a long time. We were young men when we first knew each other.
Well, one of us was younger than the other. We won't say which one was, but I first met you when I was attending Mid-South Bible College, which you were an alumni of the school.
That's correct.
You had, I think, attended the University of Memphis, were a electrical engineer, was that
electrical
correct?
Electrical engineer.
Yeah.
Right.
And so, but you went to Mid-South Bible College. You came there to talk about a ministry called TWR. I never will forget because I was so intrigued by the stories and how you were talking about these high-power radio stations broadcasting these languages and reaching people with the gospel. And God used that to prick my heart and move my wife and I, Pam, eventually to serve with TWR, where we were on the island of Guam, broadcasting in Northeast and Southeast Asia. Actually did a radio show. We did a show together. The show was called Friends in Focus, and people would write letters from all over the region, and we would play some music. We would share some Bible verses, pray together, pray for our listeners. And I remember getting letters from people from Nepal. I remember getting letters from people in India and in Bangladesh and all those areas. So we're going to concentrate today, matter of fact, with South Asia. And it encompasses such a great area, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Nepal, Sri Lanka, Bangladesh, and India. We're very thankful to have TWR International Leader for South Asia, Andrew Sundar. Andrew, welcome and thank you for coming today.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, Byron, and look forward to sharing more.
You said that you've been in the States here for about a week now, so jet lag is kind of gone, or is it still lingering a little bit?
No, I got over it. It's been a week, so I got over it, so I'm now in your time zone.
You're now caught up with us and everything.
Yes.
As I opened up with all of the various languages, 230 languages and dialects around the world that TWR speaks fluently because they partner with nationals in these countries to produce these radio programs, in the area of South Asia, 80 Asian languages and dialects, TWR, maybe more than that, the TWR broadcast. Is that right?
That's right. We are over 103 languages.
103?
Yes.
Update the website.
Yep. Actually, we keep expanding our languages. There are a myriad of languages in that part of the world, but currently we are on 103 languages in South Asia.
Before we continue on and talk about your specific work there, let's talk about your backstory. How did you get to be where you are today working with TWR?
By profession, I am a journalist. I am a financial journalist, and I used to work in this newspaper in India. I was working in a national newspaper. I recognized that media can influence the entire agenda of a society. It could influence people. It could influence society. So we in the news media work with an agenda to get our message across. And then I went on to teach media, and again I was influencing students of how they can shape message to influence a culture. Now, I got into entertainment media where I realized that I can create a popular culture through a media message that can keep an audience captivated to their feelings and make their reasoning and succumb to their passions and the pleasures that comes out of it. And I was not comfortable with it because as a follower of Jesus, I had this uncomfortable feeling that I was not shaping the minds of these young students in the right way. And the Lord was calling me to focus my energy into Christian media. And I came out with this principle. You see, in the secular media, you influence the public to live a popular cultural way that may not be very healthy. But in a Christian media, I recognize that when you present the Word of God, it is the Spirit of God who convicts and brings transformation in the lives. So I decided and I prayed about it, and the Lord gave me an opening in Transworld Radio. For the past 15 years, I've been serving the Lord, and I have seen many lives being transformed. I would say I have a dream job, if I have to put it that way.
Was it in the day-to-day, there was something that clicked inside you that said, hey, what I'm doing right here as a follower of Jesus Christ is really not the direction I want to go. It's not the most effective way to use my energies. Did you hear a message from a preacher, or was there something, a book you read, or something that began to change your way of thinking?
No, it was precisely what I was teaching. I could teach of how a woman needs to be photographed, how a woman needs to be presented as a sexual object for the attraction of a product to be sold, and then you are deeply convicted inside. You know, this verse would often come into my mind that Jesus said, when you look at a woman, don't look at her as lusting in your heart, because it's committing adultery. And so it did not fit to my conviction of the scripture. So I was looking for a break to get out of it. And I started to explore and see, and the Lord opened for me doors in Christian media. So it was a conviction,
right,
that took me through it, and there was not a real, I wasn't reading a book to see I'll get into missions.
You know, it's really interesting that when we have the Holy Spirit who lives inside us, you know, when Jesus, you know, said, I'm not going to leave you helpless or hopeless, you're going to be sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day. And it says also in the scripture that he who began a good work in you is going to complete it. And oftentimes that journey, you know, from the time we trust Christ and then to as we move on through life, it does look different for different people, you know. And sometimes we have a tendency as a follower of Christ to, you know, to judge and point fingers at someone if they're not living exactly like we think they should or what maybe the Bible teaches. But, you know, there is the conviction of the Holy Spirit, which you were just evident in just sharing this. I think this is a wonderful story in a couple of ways, Andrew. The fact that the power of the media, everyone knows the persuasion and how it's, you know, directed and produced in order to sell a product or, you know, to get a message across. And you and I have the greatest message ever, the message of hope and Jesus Christ through the gospel. And so I really appreciate your, first of all, your honesty in where you were at the point in your life where the Holy Spirit, Jesus, the Comforter, kind of just nudged you and said, hey, you know, you can use these giftings and these abilities in a way that'll be far greater for his kingdom. Now, so you did say you were a Christian. Now, had your family been Christian? Were you raised in an environment that taught Jesus Christ? Do you have a Christian heritage in your family?
Thank you for asking that question. There was also another person who played a role in for me to come into full-time, as a missionary. But before that, I'll give you my background. This is from my mother's side. My grandmother was a Muslim. My grandfather was a Hindu. And they were actually brought to Christ by the missionaries, the British missionaries in India. So my mom grew up in a mission place. It's a missionaries area that she grew up. And so when I was in her womb, she made a promise to the Lord that she will grow me up for becoming a missionary. So my mom was praying, and she was teaching me the Word of God with the hope that one day I will get into missions. So, yes, there was a heritage behind it. My grandparents came from both these backgrounds. Later, when I tell you the stories in my region, I'll tell you how this plays into how God elects you, chooses you, and then puts you into this phenomena. So, yes, I'm a third-generation believer. But we have my wife is a first generation believer. She came from a Hindu background and followed the Lord. And I am a third generation believer. And we have an heritage of both a Muslim background and a Hindu background.
When you look at South Asia, Andrew, which covers such a vast geographical area, not to mention the various people groups, the languages which we've mentioned, what are some of the keys to building and maintaining partnerships? From my personal experience with TWR, building relationships with nationals is very key to the work that you do.
Yeah, I'll give you, there's a lot over there, but I'll give you one example. If you look at a country like Afghanistan, it is a country where you are officially not allowed to have a church. So how do we build relationship with the listeners there? You cannot go on the ground and do missions work because of security reason. I'll just give you an example as to what sort of a risk is involved. A few months ago, we got this response from a guy in Afghanistan. He was a refugee in Iran. And we have been broadcasting through a very high-powered transmitter to Afghanistan. And so the signal comes across Iran, and this refugee person was listening to the radio broadcast. And after a few months, he came to believe in Christ as a savior. So as a refugee, he did not have enough money to buy a phone and to make a phone call to our counseling center. So for 11 months he worked, he got the money, he bought a mobile phone, then he called the counseling center. 2 hours after he made the call, the security forces took him into custody. And for 7 months he was imprisoned and tortured and deported back to Afghanistan. And so our people had no clue why we couldn't hear him or we couldn't reach him after his first phone call. But after 8 months, he calls up from Afghanistan and says, "This is what happened to me, but I want to let you know I am following Jesus. I'm not going to backtrack." So this is just to give you that in these type of closed countries, it is through the phone calls, through text messages, and these are the methods of how we build relationship with listeners. We do that in almost every country, but this is just one example to tell you how difficult it is for a person just to follow Jesus in these countries.
It can cost them their life.
It can cost them their life.
I was reading earlier today in Operation World, and in Afghanistan, as you mentioned, there are over 48,000 mosques, but not a single church building.
Yes.
Is that correct?
That's correct. That's correct. Because the government considers their country to be an Islamic country. And so they had one international church that was built some years ago, but it was eventually destroyed. So there is no official church there.
Hearing stories like that, knowing that there are over 48,000 mosques in this one country, how does that influence your determination to the work that you do, especially when you get discouraged?
Well, there is one thing that I have always remembered is Psalm 2. Psalm 2 talks about the Lord sits on his throne and laughs. And I feel that it happens because man puts every barrier possible for people to hear the good news and believe in Jesus. There is so much of hatred. There is so much of persecution. They do everything possible, making it is impossible for someone to hear the good news. So I find that God has his way. And so when we had this high-power transmitters, radio listenership is very high in Afghanistan. So it gives an opportunity for people to hear. Now, you talked about many mosques in Afghanistan. Yes, the Saudi Arabian government sponsors pours millions of money over there. You know, they have those beautiful mosques, but people live in huts. People live in mud huts. They live in poverty. They live in all these, with what I call it as a worldview barrier.
Yeah.
And but one thing that I recognize is that the gospel is able to go there through the media. And yes, there are also missionaries on ground who may operate under different lenses, but it is amazing to see how much people are hostile towards the gospel, and still they cannot fight against the living God. So we take in the message of love through the radio, and we hear many testimonies from there of people who come to know the Lord.
Persecution, obviously, for believers is quite prevalent. When you see people who are faced with this type of opposition, knowing they could die for their belief in Jesus Christ, the ministry, despite the limitations you have, obviously the radio doesn't have a limitation, but to be able to find ways to connect on a personal level, are you able to do that?
Yeah, actually what we do is in our analysis, we identify the audience under three categories. People who are very hostile to the gospel, people who are somewhat interested in the gospel, and the people who are seeking for the truth. So our goal is to help a hostile audience to understand why they need Jesus. So if you look at, we get close to 10,000 calls a year from Afghanistan.
You get 10,000?
Yeah, 10,000. So out of that, 85% of the calls are very hostile. They want to threaten you, they want to abuse you, they want to kill you. And sometimes they gather as a group from a mosque and they call us, and then they ask, why do you say Jesus is the Son of God? Your Bible is corrupt. God is not a father. So they have all these questions. Now, the important part for me and for our team is to always recognize that without love, there is no point in reaching them. So we need to have the patience. It takes anywhere between 18 to 22 months to counsel somebody on the phone, answer all the doubts and the questions they have, because they are highly indoctrinated with false teachings about the Bible, about Jesus, and so on and so forth. So it takes us a while. So we move an hostile audience into make them somewhat interested in the person of Jesus, and then get them to know Christ. Then for those people who are seeking, I would have to tell you this, there are many people who are sick and tired of their situation on ground. They don't want.
Afghanistan in particular, extreme poverty, you mentioned that.
Yes.
But I mean, people are having a very difficult time. There are some signs, I understand, of some economic turnaround. But right now, the average person on the streets is really struggling to survive.
True.
And I understand many of those, you know, will hire from the Taliban in order to be able to get a check to take care of their family.
Yeah, I think they, when you look at kids in Afghanistan, you know, news media doesn't tell about this, or they don't even publish these type of things. There are millions of children who are not born deaf and dumb, but they become deaf and dumb because of the trauma of the war. Then there are kids who don't go to school because they have to work in order to sustain their family. So, yes, the poverty is there. There are many aid agencies who are trying their level best. But it is only the hope in Christ that can bring any transformation into that country.
And this is just one area. I mean,
yep.
And matter of fact, many Americans have focused on Houston and Hurricane Harvey. They hit the coast earlier this week. This report, at least 1,200 people have been killed and millions have been left homeless following devastating floods that have hit India, Bangladesh, and Nepal. This just happened this week. One of the worst flooding disasters to have affected the region in years. Now, a tragedy like this, Andrew, how will the tragedy impact the work that you do in these areas? Will you be able to respond in any way to help the needs in this situation?
Thank you for asking. This is a very good question. You see, when a disaster strikes, your electricity goes off. And when that goes off, your mechanism of television, internet, and all these communication tools goes off. And people rely on radio. So what we do is we have a disaster program which informs people and tells people what to do during that type of a circumstance. And then we have a recovery program because many of them are traumatized. And then on the ground, we have a relief program. So as a radio network, we go into areas and then help the people with food or with blankets or things like that to help them in that sort. So this gives us, like, for example, the last earthquake that took place in Nepal, we did tremendous work in terms of relief. Now, our team is doing the flood relief work, and we are doing broadcasts to help people during their time of trauma, and then also we present them the hope in Christ.
We actually did a radio show on this program about the earthquake. We have a couple of refugees from Nepal here in our city that attend one of the international churches, and so we actually interviewed them. And they had contact with their family members, so we were able to talk about some of the relief efforts and also trying to help get the gospel to comfort the hearts. Like you said, when people go through tragedy and they feel hopeless, there is nothing greater than the gospel to be able to calm and help the heart that's distressed.
Yeah. And it's a very encouraging thing because these crises gives us a door opener to get into areas which may be hostile, but when a crisis like this happens, people open their hearts for Christians to show their love to them.
That's so great. Well, our time is slipping, Andrew, on this program. Gary, haven't had a lot of time to talk with you because Andrew had too much exciting things
well,
to share.
Well, Andrew came further than I did.
Andrew, if somebody wants to know more about the work in South Asia, what should they do? The website?
Yeah, I would say probably the TDBR.org site. And you can even click a tab there called By Region. So that should take you to, you know, what we're doing there in South Asia.
Somebody, if they wanted to send you an email, could they do that?
People can send me an email, yes.
And what would that address be?
Yeah, it is asundar@twr.org. Let me repeat it. It is asundar@twr.org.
You can get in touch with Gary Whitmore the same way, just G Whitmore.
Yeah, gwhitmore@twr.org.
Well, guys, thank you so much. Andrew, Gary, thank you for what you're both doing for Christ's kingdom through the ministry of TWR. Thank you for being our guest today on this live edition of Mid-South Viewpoint.
Our pleasure.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. This is really great to talk. Thank you.
Friends, that's all the time we have on this edition of Mid-South Viewpoint. Thanks for stopping by. I'm Byron Tyler. We'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.